Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, October 13th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. Today we are studying from the Big Book. We're in the chapter Bill's Story on page 11, and we're going to unpack paragraph 3 today. It starts with, "But my friend sat before me," and ends with, "had ever known." Today's readers are the 12 steps, Dana P., the 12 traditions, Laura R. Reading the text today and support would be Leslie M. and Kara L. Grabbing up those newcomers and sponsor contact information you want to be alert for would be France N. and Robin P. will take us out with some brilliant, beautiful announcements here. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting is 15,528, and that would be for Monday, October 12th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. And then the meeting that happened this morning just an hour or so ago would be for Tuesday, October 13th, 7 a.m. meeting, 15,534, 15,534. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Dana P. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Dana P., compulsive overeater, the 12 steps of OA. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you so much, Dana P. I will now ask Laura R. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Laura R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topics. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And this indicates the star 1 key function only on your phone, please. And those that are up to share next, if you would not be sitting in queue, if you would press star 1, that will help with the technical information interference white noise on the phone. Thank you so much. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Bill's Story on page 11 today, and we're going to unpack paragraph 3. That begins with, for location purposes, but my friend sat before me and ends with, had ever known. And I'm going to ask Leslie M. to read that paragraph today, unpack it by giving her experience with it, and then we'll open it up for others to comment their experience as well on that study. Hi, Leslie. Good morning.
Morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. I'm Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. But my friend sat before me, and he made the point-blank declaration that God had done for him what he could not do for himself. His human will had failed. Doctors had pronounced him incurable. Society was about to lock him up. Like myself, he had admitted complete defeat. Then he had, in effect, been raised from the dead, suddenly taken from the scrap heap to a level of life better than the best he had ever known. This reading is for me that my being recovered in a nutshell, he made the point blank declaration that God had done for him what he could not do for himself. And my story is that this year I've been in OA for 30 years. And I gladly have 2.5 years of entire abstinence and being recovered. But for 27 years, I was in OA thinking that I knew how to do it. Thinking that, that spiritual part of the program. When I finally came down to knowing the fact that, this is a spiritual malady that requires a spiritual solution, was I able to surrender to the fact that there was nothing else that I could possibly do. I had done everything that I could do. And that the only way that anything was going to be different is if I finally surrendered. And gratefully enough, I did, it has changed, it says, suddenly taken from the scrap heap to a level of life better than the best he had ever known. And I tell people that I talk to all the time that my life, at this point in my life, I'm 69 years old, my life is beyond my wildest dreams. I didn't ever know that I would actually, be able to, I'm sorry for the dog, that I would actually be able to have the neutrality around the food and have the mental obsession removed. I'm so, so grateful for that today. You know, I know that that would, for me, that would be the insanity. The insanity would be picking up the food again. All the other problems that I thought I had in my life, they're just work through the steps. I work through what I need to do in order to, show up. And
Leslie, it seems like you're cutting in and out just a smidgen. We're not quite catching all you're saying. Leslie, can you readjust real quick, or we can certainly move on? Okay, let's take that as the end of what her share is going to be for today because of technical difficulties. So what I would like to do now is open the line up for additional comments on page 11 in Bill's story, paragraph 3, but my friend sat before me and ends with had ever known. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and perhaps your state so folks can look for you on a membership list, I would be happy to grab up those names now.
Jana M., Phoenix, Arizona.
Jana M.
Roz G. from California.
Did I hear? There was somebody right before you, Roz. Did we catch that? But I'll put you in position 3. There's Jana and somebody else. Okay, we won't spend time with that. Anybody else? We'll put Roz at 2.
Jody H.
Laura Lou B.
Robin P.
Okay, that's a good enough pause there. Let's go with Jana M., Roz G., Jody H., Laura Lou B., and Robin P. You have 3 minutes, and if you'd like to give your state, that would be awesome.
Good
Jana,
morning.
You're up.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Mm-hmm, loud and clear.
This is Jana M. in Arizona, and I wanted to come to the line here that says, like myself, he had admitted complete defeat. And that is where I am today. This is my first vision meeting in over a year. I have been in relapse. I relapsed probably for about a year and a half. I had a really solid program that I was working, and life started going really good, and I eased up on the gas. And little by little, got on that slippery slope, and one thing after another started slipping. And the disease did what the disease does. It just took, a year and a half from my life. And I feel like I'm just kind of like waking up from a bad dream now. So here I am, like recommitting, claiming my seat, recommitting to my recovery, to feeding my recovery instead of feeding my disease, and staying in action and reminding myself that I have to stay in this place of remembering my complete defeat, because that mental blank spot sure did come in. I mean, I thought that I had this thing, and that mental blank spot came in, and it made me forget. It kept me from recalling to mind the horror of what it's like to be in the disease. And now that's fresh for me. And so because I'm in pain, I'm, willing to surrender and take action. But what I have to remember going into this recovery is that when things start going good again, and they will, I have to dig in twice as much. when they start going good, that's actually when my red light needs to start going off and saying, ooh, ooh, no, girl, you got to stay up on this even more. So thank you so much for letting me share and for still being here after I rode off, you know, through the desert on a horse with no name. I'm back. I'm blessed. Thank you all. I pass.
Thank you, Jana M. Roz G., you're next, and then Jody H. will follow you.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. My name is Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Palmdale, California. And I just, you know, I'd like to try to take these 3 minutes with what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now, because that's kind of like what this paragraph is like. You know, I'll talk about my poverty. I lived on welfare as a single mom in poverty for a few years, American standard poverty. And that poverty, that standard provided food stamps for me, which I'm really grateful that I had. I don't have that today, but I did. But, you know, the food stamps provided outlets for me to go and get all kinds of food. And I went to the secondhand bakery shops. And, you know, because while I was living in that state, like, you know, just not having a lot of material possessions and, you know, living dependent on the government, it was very, you know, I had so many, I was so depressed and so angry. And so, of course, you know, baking and all those carbs really put me in oblivious places, you know? And I did go to Overeaters Anonymous at the, you know, finally, while I was still in that kind of that state. But I didn't really admit powerlessness, true powerlessness, until I came to A Vision for You. And I've been in OA since 2002. But I didn't understand what true powerlessness was, what step one was. I didn't get it. The Sunday editions and the people like Ruth who talked about what real abstinence, what abstinence is, what that means, what ingredients, what they do to me. I mean, let me tell you, any kind of flowery item is going to give me a headache. It's going to have a reaction on me. I've had to learn that the hard way many times. And so God, and then when it comes to now, it's like, it's a miracle how amazing when I go to, well, in this pandemic, hardly ever, but, you know, going to places where there's potlucks, where people bring items, I automatically, or God says to me, or whatever it is, that's not my food. I don't eat that anymore. That will do something to me. I love what Harlan says. What it'll do for me is it'll take me to a happy place for a few minutes, but later on it's going to bring me to a place of anger, resentment, remorse. I don't do that today. So what is my life like today? Well, I have a food plan. It's an abstinence food plan. Okay, and I'll wrap up by saying that I have an amazing life today that I don't have time to go into. But thank you anyway. I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. from Palmdale, California. Jody H., you're up next, and then Laura Lou B. will follow you.
My name is Jody H. I'm from the state of Maine. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. You can hear me okay?
You betcha. But if there's a pause, we'll let you know straight up. You just come in talking with all gusto. Just come right on in.
Okay, thank you so much. I was following in my big book, but when I heard and saw the words complete defeat, I said, oh, I've got to talk if I get a chance. But yeah, this past May, it's very fresh with me, and I hope for the rest of my life it remains as fresh as it is today. I faced complete defeat. The coronavirus had caused me to gain an incredible amount of weight. I was supposed to be losing weight so I could get surgery on my knee, which was arthritic, and I couldn't do it. I tried everything. I tried eating only 6 hours a day. I tried the six small meals. I tried all kinds of diets and plans. I tried fastings. The only thing I didn't do, which was my way out, is to pray. And I found myself reaching out for help to somebody I had heard. She was just a simple friend who had heard of A Vision for You. And when she heard of my desperateness, I reached out to her, and she reached out to me, and she gave me the information so I could come on these meetings and be involved with a sponsor through the AOA program. I can't begin to say what my journey has been these last 6 months or so. It's been awesome. I learned that I have to reach out to my higher power in order, as we see in Bill's story, in order to realize that no man or woman can help me recover from my disease, my allergy of the body. I need supernatural help, because without a higher power, I am useless in myself. I'm not totally useless. I have to cooperate with him, but it's at the same time, it was a struggle, and every time I had a problem with something come up in my program, I reached out to my higher power, and he said, it's okay. Just do what they say. Okay, I'm almost done. Do what they say, and you will be free. And I am free through the 12 steps of OA and through this great fellowship, and I pass.
Thank you, Jody H. from Maine. Next up will be Laura Lou B. I wanted to let you know, though, in 6 minutes, I'll be opening up the lines again for additional comments. In Bill's story, page 11, paragraph 3 begins with, "But my friend sat before me and ends with, had ever known." So get ready. The lines will be open again. But for now, we're going to listen to Laura Lou B. Hi, Laura.
Hi there. Hi, everyone. Thank you for being here today. Thanks, everyone who's of service today. I want to give a shout out to my friend Terry. I hope she's here today. She was looking for a meeting and has not been to Vision for You before, so welcome, Terry. I relate to what people have shared. I had been to OA for years, but just wasn't getting it. I was not getting it, and someone recommended A Vision for You, and I thought, well, you know, a phone meeting I can listen to every day, that sounds helpful. I just didn't realize it was going to be the yellow brick road that was going to lead me to recovery, and that part of my recovery was going to be to discover that I've been wearing the ruby slippers this whole time, that I've had this magic and this higher power with me, and that I've just needed to start to trust my fellows. Gosh, I hope you guys can all hang in there with this Wizard of Oz reference with me today. You know, I've got my fellows, and I've got this program. I've been able to put the food down by the grace of a higher power for 4 months, and I'm working towards my last third of the steps. I didn't want to get sober 5 months ago. I wanted to feel sorry for myself. I wanted to tell myself that I had tried OA and it did not work. I wanted to tell myself that I couldn't do it again, that I would die before I sent in my food every day. There were a lot of things I felt resistance, and I started listening to the meetings before I put the food down. So I hear you, anyone who might be maybe picked up already today, I started listening. And then I just started to hear, you know, we do whatever it takes, and people get recovered, and I want recovered, and I'm praying that I'm going to get to the other side of this rainbow and just praying that the magic is there for me too. I think it is, and I feel the love when I listen to this line, and I thank you all for being here today.
Thank you, Laura Lou B. Up next is Robin P. from Mexico, and then we're going to open up the lines again. Hi, Robin P. Star one, please. You there.
Thanks so much, Mel. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Tulum, Mexico. And, you know, I love that it says that he declared that God had done for him what he could not do for himself. His human will had failed. And the only way that I ever recover is to let my human will fail. You know, I can't, he cannot let him. And I had to admit complete defeat. And I love that it says that he'd been raised from the dead. That's exactly how I felt. And I actually wanted, my fervent prayer was for God to take me home for a long time. And instead, I got catapulted. And every day I get to admit complete defeat over so many areas of my life. I think someone's unmuted. If you could just check your mute status. There's some background noise. And what I realized is that, you know, every day there's so many things. I mean, moving to a different country, I've had to admit complete defeat. And then the good news is I get to ask for help and surrender. And that's with everything. And I am catapulted to a new dimension. And I'm an inventor, and my invention's getting all this press, and we're oversold out. And that's a whole other thing that I'm completely powerless over. And God is powerful if I let him. I can't, God can if I let him. So that's in every area of my life. And I'm eternally grateful for this program, for these phone meetings. Thank you so much, Mel, for your wonderful service and everybody on the line. And I pray for a very blessed afternoon day for all of us. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Robin P. from Mexico. I'm ready to take a lineup of additional people that want to comment on paragraph 3, page 11 in Bill's story, the big book. Give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, please, and perhaps even your state and time zone. Oh, my goodness. Let me get my ears caught up there. Start this again, would you please?
Razel N.
Razel N.
Tiffany P.
Tiffany P. Oh, this is much better. Brandy M.
Shandel S.
Shandel. F like Frank.
S is in Sam.
Thank you, Shandel.
Lois P. from New York.
Lois P. from New York. Let's go with that lineup there while the TikTok is a burning up here, and then we can catch some more if there's time. Razel, you're first, and then Tiffany will follow you. Here goes your 3 minutes now, Razel.
Thank you. Hi, it's Razel N. from New Jersey. I don't really share on this line, but I'm pushing myself to because I want to do what I can, take the action that I can in order to ensure my abstinence for today, one day at a time. So this paragraph where it says, that God has done for him what he could not do for himself. So it brings me great relief that, you know, God can do for me what I can't do for myself. But it did bring up for me my old beliefs or my current beliefs that I want them to be old about a higher power, that when I do good, then God does for me. But when I'm a bad girl, then I'm not lovable and God won't do for me, you know, good stuff. So I was talking to my sponsor about it, and she was saying how God never, I'm the one that moves away. God never moves away. He's always there, and he can always do for me what I can't do for myself. If he were sought, it means if I'm, you know, listening out for him and if I'm asking him for help. But if I'm in the food or if I'm in self or if I'm in any, you know, the resentment and just self, anxiety and just spinning out of control, then I'm literally blocking out God doing, you know, doing stuff for me. So I just wanted to share that little tidbit, and thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Razel. From New Jersey, Tiffany P., you're next, and then Brandy M. from Canada. So Tiffany, you're first.
Hi, thank you. This is Tiffany P. in San Antonio. Thank you for everyone's service on the line and for the previous shares. So much has resonated with me. And what's standing out to me is these sentences. Like myself, he admitted complete defeat. Then he had, in effect, been raised from the dead. You know, it, just reading it over and over, it occurred to me like those two sentences are, you know, they follow a sequence, right? It's not a mistake that one comes before the other. I have to admit complete defeat, which is, you know, many of us call surrendering to the fact that I'm just my powerlessness. I don't have what it takes in and of myself to overcome this disease, right? To put down the food. If I had, you know, I never would have, if I had that power, I never would have found myself, you know, at the doors of a 12-step program. Because all the many, many times I tried to lose weight and control my eating and, you know, get my life together, quote unquote, would have succeeded. But it's in admitting that defeat that just a little bit of my ego gets out of the way and my higher power is able to come in and do for me what I can't do for myself. I was speaking with someone this weekend and sharing my journey and growing my relationship with the higher power. And yes, of course, it was this doing the step work. But even before I came back to OA back in 2016, I remember being at the point of where I just didn't want to live anymore and asking God, like, you need to intervene. And that, I believe, was my moment of complete defeat. And soon enough, you know, I found myself back into OA and really with the emphasis on working the steps. And thank God I came across someone who put a big book in my hands and said, you know, we're going to do the steps this way. And, you know, it's been a couple years since then. And I've been effectively raised from the dead. You know, I don't wake up each morning regretting that my eyes opened. You know, I get on my knees and thank God for waking me up. And, you know, for me today, that's a miracle because I couldn't do that in and of myself. And so that's just what I wanted to share today. And I thank everyone for being on the line, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Tiffany P. Brandy M. from Canada, you're next. And then Shandel S. will come in after you.
Good morning. It's Brandy M., recovered compulsive eater. Thank you, Melanie, for your service. I'm Brandy M., and I think I might have said that already. So when I read this, I always say to myself, God had to have done for me what I could not do for myself. Because the prison that I was living in, bound, you know, by compulsive eating and just, you know, just the cycle of this addiction of, you know, wanting to get out, but not being able to. And, you know, my human will had failed me. I tried everything that I could to try and stop me from eating compulsively and, you know, and just basically destroying my life. And, you know, my human will had failed. And I remember going to my doctor at the end and him saying to me, yeah, like you could have bariatric surgery and putting me on that list. And, you know, it's like, that was your only answer for me. To me, that was like, you know, I was incurable. I needed this surgery that really the surgery, what I heard on a meeting previously is like the surgery needed to be on my head, but I didn't, thank you, God, I didn't have to go to that place of surgery because it only fixes, you know, a part of what is our problem. And, you know, I need brain surgery, if anything. but again, who knows if that will work, right? Because I don't know. And it's like, God knows. God can do for me what I can't do for myself. And, you know, he can pull me out of this disease. And that's been my experience today. My experience has been that God has done for me what I couldn't do for myself. And today I can show up and be neutral with food and not worry about, you know, what other people are eating. It was Canadian Thanksgiving this past weekend, and I didn't give a shit what people were eating. I just ate my food and I weighed and measured it and did what I needed to do. And, you know, and then I had, and then I was able to show up in a way to be of service to others. And, you know, and that's what God would have me be today. And, you know, the only thing that puts me in that place is to be in constant contact with my higher power. And so I am so grateful for these rooms and so grateful for the people that went before me and showed me that maybe there's a possibility. Maybe, like, I spent 10 years in relapse, you know, and I saw people getting it and was like, they have something. They have something that could be true for me too, you know. And so it starts with just that hope and that belief. And then putting down the food and working these steps. And, you know, I'm grateful today that I have over a year. And, you know, I'm not looking back. I'm looking forward with my higher power, and my fellows. And so with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Brandy M. from Canada. Shandel S., you're up next. And then Lois P. from New York will follow you.
Hi, it's Shandel S. from New York, recovered compulsive overeater. So grateful. Thank you so much, everybody who shared, and for this meeting. Wow, I heard so many good things. I'm so grateful because I've also been in program for around 24 years, and I lost and gained my weight a bunch of times, but I never was recovered. And I was now like in a really bad 7 years of binging and just waiting for the bitter end, basically. I didn't know how I was ever going to get out of it. I kept thinking, because I had listened to Vision for You before, should I do that? Am I ready for that? I don't want to start again if I'm not ready. And I did that for many, many days, months, years, because I was like, if I'm not ready, I don't want to call a sponsor and then stop again. So I stopped listening. But deep in my heart, I was like, I know that, like other people, that like the food part is just the beginning, and so just having a food plan is not the answer or the whole answer, and that I knew that the steps was the answer, but was I ready? Was I ready to surrender? And I had like a lot of challenges in my life, and I didn't know if I was ready to surrender. And I had just binged on something, and someone called me from program, and they actually thought I was a different Shandel S, someone from A Vision for You, and we spoke for a while, and then she became my sponsor, and I really feel that that was an act of God, because I really wasn't sure how I was going to get out of it. And so God did do for me what I couldn't do, and I'm so amazed, because I got abstinent like in February, the end of February, and then I actually got COVID, not bad, thank God, in March, and I made it through all the challenges that I had to because of this program and working the steps, and I never thought I'd be able to do it. I never thought I'd be able to live life on God's terms. I was just like, this is too challenging, and I want things to be different, and now it's like the other person shared, what would God have me be today? And it's a daily thing. It's a daily thing. I have to refocus and reconnect. But I know as long as my food is the way it's supposed to be, and I'm doing that, and listening to this meeting on a regular basis, I must do that, you know, daily if possible, but it's pretty much been daily. And doing the other tools and just doing everything I'm supposed to, then I can definitely have a reprieve. But it'll come right back. The minute I stop focusing on what would God have me be, it just, all my feelings become too overwhelming again.
Time.
So I just, thank you. So I just hold on to it with dear life. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you, Shandel S. I'm not sure if she said from New York or not. Lois P., you're up for 3 minutes, and then we'll open up the lines for two additional shares on that paragraph, which is paragraph 3, page 11 of our big book. Hi, Lois P. from New York.
Hi, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. This is Lois P., so gratefully recovered in New York.
I know this paragraph is quite serious, and I identify completely with it, and yet I get this image that I identify with of the ever-ready, bunny, battery-operated being that I was for almost my whole life. And it was always hard for me to even take step one because I never felt that my life was totally unmanageable because I overcompensated for my weight by being an achiever and accepting challenges and overcoming them and feeling, you know, that puffy sense of self that I think Bill was his ruin and mine as well all his life. That moment when the energy runs out, when that battery, self-will battery, died out in me and I think in Bill, is such a painful and beautiful moment. It's like any of the mothers out there, you know, that have given birth, you know what that's like. There's that moment, you know, between life and death where when I finally succumbed and my battery ran out and I didn't know where to turn, I died. And then I became desperate enough to allow this divine power source to ask God, please, to come in to save me. And at that moment, within the next day, plugging into a vision meeting, I got plugged in, you know, to this divine power source that every day, thank you, God, carries me. So at this point, I feel like I'm living on the other side of the curtain, so to speak. You know, when people pass on, they say, you know, they go to another realm, another world. I feel I'm living in that now. That little self that was motivated all my life by my self-power, even though I believed in God deeply, there just was a disconnect that had to come when I finally was ready to be broken open enough to allow that light to come in. And that's the moment that Bill is at, I believe. And it's also that moment when in nature, there's that moment, you know, where the bud just suddenly bursts open into blossoming. And for me, that has happened only because the light of God, that supreme power, that unconditionally loving place, that I always skirted around and thought I had a relationship with, but I couldn't have a relationship with because there was still that block, that wall that had to be dissolved. And when that wall was broken down, finally, that love and that presence has now entered my life. And every day I'm on my knees in gratitude for all of the beauty and the wonder and the joy that has come. And I'm so glad that I really did run my life on that. Thank you, Mel. That I really did run my life on that self-operated battery and that it finally ran out because now there was no question about who I needed to turn to. So thank you very much for allowing me to share. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you, Lois P. Would there be a couple of other people that would like to comment on paragraph 3, page 11 of the big book this morning as we close out this recorded portion of the meeting? Take your first name, the first initial of your last name.
Audrey M. P.
Audrey M.P. Well, let's go with you, Audrey, and see how time ticks away, okay? You're up
okay.
For three. And where are you from?
Audrey, compulsive overeater and recovered bulimic this Thank You Team Tuesday. I come to meetings on Team Tuesday and Team Thursday, and I call it, oh, this is Audrey M.P. from Southern California. I'm in Santa Monica. And I come on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I was laughing last week to get my M&Ms, my Melanies and my Mo's, because I love my fellows when I hear their strength and their admission of complete defeat. And what I love about A Vision for You is complete neutrality. And thank you to the people that spoke before me about their neutrality with food. It's that time of year. It's that time of year when everything's free. You know, the cheese in the mousetrap is not free. And there are so many consequences, and I'm recovered. I am recovered from bulimia, thank God. If there's any women out there struggling with bulimia, I will talk to you and I can help you. The food, I still am working towards complete neutrality. And you know, I have to come to my meetings. I have to come. I call it that my M&Ms. I'm committed to Tuesdays and Thursdays. I want it to be every day. I'm cross-addicted. I'm spread thin. But I do know that in this paragraph, now I read one, two, three. I wasn't here for the reading, but I read. Made the point blank declaration. I know I am powerless, and I'm getting better. I'm getting better. I'm not entirely neutral and recovered from compulsive overeating, and I just know that I'm going to get what I need to hear when I come to these meetings, and that my surrender to God is the only way. The only way that I can become recovered and actually work with other fellows and help them become recovered. And again, I'm speaking to the bulimic. I have 27 years of recovery and recovered from bulimia. And that's all I have to say. I'm just really grateful and thanks again, Team Tuesday, for the meeting. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Audrey MP. And she's from Southern California, ladies and gentlemen. It looks like we have 2 minutes. Would anybody like to grab up 2 minutes to talk on that paragraph today?
Yeah, this is Linda P.
Hi, Linda.
Can
it's
you hear?
Yours.
Hi.
Yeah,
hi.
Linda
thank
P.
you. In the well, I'm moving actually right this moment, but on the list it says New York, but I am moving to Nebraska right now. I just had to say something today. It was so moving, that reading, and also the shares, of course. Beautiful. And I guess what I really feel so deeply is that, you know, in this hopeless situation, it is an impossible thing that happens through, you know, a higher power. And there is no way that I can explain that except that. So that's why it's sometimes a little hard to talk about it to somebody who doesn't have that in their doesn't have the disease. It's like, no, I cannot take credit for this. And even more amazing to me this time through the steps is to have that depression, that low grade depression, lifted completely. To where I do not even, it almost feels like I don't remember what that feels like. That's a miracle. That was with me my entire life, even through steps being done before. So there was something about this, the thoroughness, that really made a big difference. So I am forever grateful, and I know what I need to do daily, and I just pray that I continue to do that and that we all continue to do that. And thank you so much for your service. I pass.
Thank you, Linda P. On her way to Nebraska. Nice to have you share this morning on the road. You know, I'd like to think we could squeeze out one more minute, although that doesn't give a lot for folks to share about. If you'd like to take 1 minute and you feel like that works for you, you can have it. Yeah, not a lot of time, is it? So let's go ahead and make that executive decision group conscious to move to the next portion of our meeting today as we close out. Thank you, everyone, that shared today and made this meeting possible. It is very, very, very vital to my life and to so many others, as you could hear shared on the line today, and it's working. Thank God it's working. We meet up every day of the week here. Tuesday happens to be a day that we come together as this group, for sure, and we're glad we're here together warm. I appreciate all the presence here today. So as we get prepared to transition to the last 10 minutes of the unrecorded hour, let's jump right into closing this meeting out. And I would like to ask Kara L. to please read from our big book on page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And then we'll launch right into saying the Serenity Prayer as we prepare ourselves to pass the baton on to the unrecorded portion of the meeting. So stay tuned for all the goodness that's coming up ahead, and get your pen and paper ready. So Kara L., would you please read?
Sure. Good morning. My name is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. we realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.